Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations to our 2020 high school seniors. We want to salute you to pay tribute to the class, high school class of 2020. They got a big time raw deal. I remember how exciting it was in being in the class of redacted to graduate. So it sucks, and we're trying to help out however we can. We've created a virtual album of high school seniors from around the area. You can submit your senior selfie online and view the album at 937thefan.com/seniors. Our salute to high school seniors is brought to you by Pittsburgh Institute of Aeronautics, Always Best Care, St. Vincent de Paul, Omega Federal Credit Union, JP Roofing, and Carlo University. Am I at the age, like, everyone knows how old I am. You can pretty much guess, like, when I graduated high school. The redacted joke there only works if I'm, like, I think at least 5 years older.
We've all openly talked about, like, how old we are. Like,
yeah, everyone knows. Why am I doing that? That's such a dad move. Oh,
you got those good dad jokes now.
I don't know. We might have to abolish the whole, like, too, when, like, women turn a certain age. It's like, oh, you're 29 again or whatever. I think we've got to abolish that joke.
I don't know if that's a line I'm willing to walk just yet.
But it's not that it's, like, no, it is. It's that it's super corny, frankly.
Oh, it is.
It's, and like, at some point, if your grandma is turning 70 or something like that, or 80, and you're like, oh, 29 again. Like, no. That has a certain amount of shelf life, and then it becomes actually offensive that you're even suggesting something stupid like that. Like, I think if you're turning 40, you can make the 29 joke one more time. You've got a full decade, and that's it. Doran Dickerson is on the hotline. I guess Doran would have graduated high school in, what, 05, 06?
2006.
All right, pretty good guess by me. I thought you were a couple. Yeah. I knew you were a couple years behind me. I didn't know how many. What are you smoking this weekend? Anything good? Wings, ribs, pork?
You know what? I did some beer can chicken yesterday, and it was phenomenal.
Oh,
I put
the summon.
Oh yeah, it was phenomenal. I put the summer shandy beer in the holsters, stuffed it, obviously, then hit a little brine on it the night before. I mean, it was phenomenal. So I think tomorrow I might go with a brisket. I might do the whole day brisket.
Oh, I was going to say, do you get up early enough to, like, put that bad boy on for, like, the 14 hours that it needs?
Well, like, my perfect, like, picture scenario of, like, a Saturday is waking up really early, having a tea time at about 8 a.m., being able to put my brisket on. Everything's already prepped the night before. Being able to throw the brisket on, go golf for about four and a half hours, come back. You know, check on the brisket, leave it smoking for a couple more hours, and then be ready to eat. I mean, that's my perfect day of a Saturday at like 75 degrees, perfect. So I'm hoping that's tomorrow for me.
It's going to be cooler, but I think people are happy about that because it's been like Satan's oven today with humidity. So I think you're going to be in good shape. Speaking of good shape, that's where I wanted to start with you, Doran. I know we asked you about this last week, but it is like it's been going on constantly all off season. Connor and Juju have been doing like the Hans and Franz SNL routine, where it's just a contest to see who can get like it seems like a contest to see who can get more swole before the season starts. How much? Let me put it this way: how much actual value do you, former NFL player, put in like just getting crazy amounts of popcorn muscle, basically? I know they're both getting into better shape, but like at some point, I feel like football training is more important here.
And you could doctor it up too. So I mean, at the end of workouts, especially like on a Friday, you know, after a long week of training, You know, my strength coaches or my trainers at the time, be like, you know, we call it the get jack session. We would pump out some arms, pump out some abs, and then take a couple pictures to do whatever with. So I think that they have, you know, little sessions after they're done with their training, their actual training, that, you know, they pump up the popcorn muscles and they.
So it's sort of like a gym. It's like a gym fluffer thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine that that's their whole entire workout every day. I hope not. Because that's not going to translate to the field.
Wait, speaking of all of this
bodybuilding,
Doran, speaking of all this, now granted, you were in great shape even going back to high school, but when you would take team pictures, did you do the bicep, the fists under the biceps thing to do the pop routine on those?
No, what I did, I would kind of pump my like knuckles for about 50 count, and then my veins would start popping. And I can still do that to this day. And then, you know, I'd have the nice looking vascular picture that I needed to, and have a little lather on my body. I looked good. Don't get me wrong. I tried to look good. So I did what I needed to do, and that was pumping my knuckles about 50 times before I would take a picture.
Granted, I think women already generally just think most guys are completely insane. But I know we have men and women listening right now. There are probably so many dudes, whether they played football or not, if they played any sport, who are like nodding along with what you're saying. Ooh, yeah, I wish I had tried the knuckle pump. And there are probably most of the women in our audience who are scratching their heads wondering what the hell they just heard you say. And cannot imagine how people could be that stupid. But I'll just, you know, all the guys out there are with you, myself included. That's a brilliant idea. I just got to say it. What was your reaction to this onside kick revision being voted down as too gimmicky, the 4th and 15? What did you think of that?
You know, I every single year the NFL is trying to do something different. I am so against everything, you know, evolving into new rules. You know, keep it as much the same as it has been. I know that they are trying to be safe and trying to be a safer league. But, I mean, I'm not into the gimmicks. I'm not into changing things. You know, and look where the game has gone ever since they changed the whole targeting rule and, you know, guys going across the middle. I mean, psychologically, it's easier to play wide receiver in my mind because you don't have to worry about getting hit going across the middle. So that takes an element out of the game. I'm all about the regular rules that it has been in the past. And I know, like we just said, the NFL has evolved every year and tries to change things, but I am so against all of that. I just want to see them play football, play physical, and I mean, just leave it how it is. Quit messing with it, please.
Well, the thing I liked about the onside kick revision was that, like, one of the complaints I hear from people, and I get that special teams is important, and I think football players have a much greater appreciation of like, the legitimacy and the value of good special teams play than maybe some fans do. Like, I know there are people who don't want there to be field goals anymore because they think that's, like, not what the game should be about. But for me, what made this a good proposal was onside kicks are completely impossible to recover now. And I would think most purists would like the idea that if you're going to try to get the ball back, it's your offense versus their defense. It's like the fundamental two major units of the game going at it.
I get that. That would be exciting for the viewer. That would be exciting for, you know, but I feel like you said, I mean, onside kicks are harder to accomplish. So,
well, it's to the point of them
the
being impossible.
Harder.
It's to the point, though, like if you could go back and do the old school way of doing onside kicks, you'd have something there, Doran. But the way they have it now, it's pretty much not possible to recover one. Like the stats bear it out. You can't get a running start. You can't have guys lined up all funky on either side of the kicker. Like, that's what I have
a
problem
with. What was the last successful one that we could remember that was significant? What, Seattle and Green Bay?
Craig, can you? I can't remember what. Yeah, what you're talking about, how many years ago would that be?
Well, that was, yeah, that, I mean, maybe I'm outdating myself. Maybe that's way a lot farther along. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, I feel like it is a hard execution play part of the game. I know, like you said, I agree with you. You know, you can't really back up, and that's the safety thing that comes into it. So, if they were messing around with, you know, offense, defense, I could see that the viewer would be happy about that. But like I said before, I'm going back to what I just stated. I'm all about keeping things the same and keeping football the same. Let's not change it. Let's not make these funky situations where, you know, you have guys like me and you doing pregame shows and we have to think what happened the week before. If the rules are right, if they are wrong, you know, that makes our job harder. So I'm with keeping everything the same.
Doran Dickerson joining us right now, our NFL analyst. Former West Allegheny and Pitt star, and longtime NFLer. So here's one for you. The Cleveland Browns, I'm sure you're thrilled to hear about them again, but they're getting a lot of run, Doran. You've got Baker Mayfield shutting up, staying off social media. He's just been, you know, I guess handling the pandemic and being isolated like a normal person. He's been working on his game, but hasn't been making headlines for the wrong reasons. Everybody loves all the moves they made. They won the offseason again. Everyone loves Kevin Stefanski. Is Doran Dickerson buying an admittedly very talented team, but on its second coach in 2 years, as being a real threat in the AFC North?
I think that they're going to be the same Browns as they usually are, maybe a little bit better. They're probably going to be as good as last year. That turnover's tough. You know, you go from Kitchens to Stefanski, and, you know, in new front office. I mean, that turnover is tough. That, you know,
how does it affect the players? Like right on the ground, like ground floor, how would it affect you? How you say tough, in what specific ways is it tough for players to handle?
Well, honestly, it's just like any business. It's just like starting a new job. It's relationships. My thing, you know, you develop a good relationship with your head coach. You develop a good relationship with your OC and your position coach. Now everything's new. Now I have to redevelop these relationships that I built up from, you know, the years past. And, you know, what if this guy and me and him don't see eye to eye? What if he likes bigger tight ends and doesn't like, you know, small, fast tight ends? I mean, that's the toughest thing. Yeah, I mean, plays are plays and terminology changes, but they're still the same plays. You'll still be on the same page offense and defensively wise, but it's the relationships. And do you get along? Do you see eye to eye with your coach? That's the toughest thing. Like, you know, whoever the defensive line coach is he going to get, you know, is he going to see eye to eye with Myles Garrett and what he did in the past? Or is he just going to be like, all right, well, I'm your coach and that's what it is and we'll just be player and coach? Like, no, you're not going to win being player and coach. You have to have that relationship with each and every one of the coaches that you come across whenever you're a player. So I think that that's the toughest thing, is being on the same wavelength as other coaches and – you know, having the same mindset and same goals in mind. I don't know if that's going to happen this year.
Doran Dickerson for another minute or two here. Quickly, what did you make of these reports that have come out, speaking of the Browns, that Jadeveon Clowney has been by far his best and most lucrative offer this offseason so far has come from Cleveland, and he basically doesn't want to go there?
Well, I mean, I don't blame him. I think at this point, if you're Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, you've made a lot of money. Your first pick of the draft, whenever you came out, you've hit so many different milestones that it's that point in your career, you're getting older, you know, you're in and out of injury, you're getting older, so you want to win. You know, that's the last thing that you want to hang your hat on before you retire, is you got to go out a winner. I mean, a lot of guys have done it. Look at Darrell Revis, made his money, you know, high draft pick. All right, I'm going to go to the Patriots, you know, and then I'm going to win. I mean, a lot of guys do that. So I think that that's Jadeveon Clowney's mindset. And nothing against the Browns, or, yeah, actually something against the Browns, that he doesn't think that they're going to win this year. And they're probably not going to win.
Well, I think it's weird.
They might get to the playoffs.
I think it's weird, though, that his market has clearly not been there like he thought. If they're offering him a pretty decent deal, I would imagine at this point, if you're him, you don't want to keep playing chicken much longer with the other 31 teams not really biting on the bait here.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take your best offer, but I think that he knows in the back of his mind that somebody is going to want him. Somebody is. I mean, he's one of the best defensive players out there. You know, year in and year out. I mean, he's dominant. We've seen him play. I don't even have to tell anybody. I think that he knows that somebody will want him. Somebody will take a shot on him. And hopefully, in his mind, it's a winning franchise that he can go and compete. Like, I mean, if I'm sitting here and I'm waiting, I mean, if Tampa Bay's knocking at the door and say, hey, we're going to give you a little bit less than what your market value is, probably going to go to Tampa Bay.
I'm
going to go play with Tom Brady.
Well, I think
And
that team, I get like why the appeal would be there. I think his problem is he's not a big sacks guy. He's like, his value is held within other things, stopping the run, being good when he has to drop back once in a while. He's never been a double-digit sacks guy, which is kind of amazing in his entire career.
That is actually bizarre. That is very bizarre because, you know, every, you know, defensive end, rush end, you know, makes their money off of sacks and beating that one-on-one, beating that tackle one-on-one. And you're right. Like, he's good at stopping the run. He's good at dropping into the flat and, you know, and being that big not target, but big shield that guys can't throw into the flat. So you're definitely right about that. That's actually a really good point.
Doran Dickerson, our NFL analyst and a man who likes to work the smoker. in all weather conditions and just laid out a beautiful Saturday plan for all of us to try to emulate. Doran, a pleasure as always. Have a good weekend, man.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.